Today we have a number of celebrations in the church. First of all, it's Ascension Sunday. Secondly, it's the day when we pray for the ministry of the church in the holy city of Jerusalem. Thirdly, as the first Sunday of the month, we will be offering the sacrament of anointing. But today I wanted us to challenge each other with the whole notion of the ascension defying the law of gravity and what that means. If we were to think of the physical ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, defying what many scientists believe to be a true law, and what many of us take for granted, what does that mean to us on Ascension Day? And what does that mean to us in terms of our faith journey and our beliefs in our Christian beliefs? And if you've been paying attention, you'd know that Ascension Day was actually last Thursday, May the 30th. And Ascension Day is a significant day in the life of the church. But for many Christians, the feast of the Ascension of Jesus Christ, generally called Ascension Day, went relatively unnoticed, didn't it? I wouldn't take a poll, but I can imagine that many of us went along all day Thursday, and the thought of Ascension Day probably didn't occur to us because it was midweek and we have our duties and responsibilities. And I must tell you that on Ascension Day, one of the things that I did, we had a wedding rehearsal. And there was an amazing wedding here yesterday in the parish. And two young people who were brought up in the Anglican tradition. One actually went to St. Patrick's Church, which is now St. John's Chinese Church, our neighboring church just here at Steeles and Willowdale. And the other, a young man brought up in the Anglican Church in the country of Nigeria. And so it was a wonderful celebration. And I say that to say that on Ascension Day, we were doing the wedding rehearsal, and we paused in prayer. But many persons around the world had more significant observances of Ascension Day. Because in several countries around the world, it is still a Christian holiday that commemorates Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven. And as we know, traditionally, many of our holidays are based in Christian holy days. And that is still true in some countries. Of course, in Canada and in many Western countries, Ascension Day is no longer considered a holiday. But in several countries, it still is. And I was surprised to see that even in some countries where Christianity is a minority religion, Ascension Day is still considered as a very significant civic holiday. But Ascension Day, if we trace the history of Ascension Day, we'll acknowledge that it goes back as far as the first century. A significant day in the life of the church. So tell me, how did we get from Easter to Ascension in such a short period of time? It seemed as though it was just quite recently that we said, the Lord is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, wasn't it? Well, if we've been following the scripture, we know that Jesus met several times with his disciples during the 40 days after his resurrection. And one of the main objectives is to instruct his disciples on how to carry out his teachings once he had been removed from his earthly ministry. And the scripture reveals to us that on the 40th day after his resurrection, Jesus took his disciples with him. And as he was blessing them, he defied the law of gravity and ascended into the clouds. So for Christians then, Ascension Day technically marks the end of the Easter season. And as we know, Ascension Day occurs 10 days before Pentecost. For a moment, however, let us take ourselves back over 2,000 years ago and imagine standing there with Jesus, listening to him. And suddenly, he starts disappearing. What would you think? What would you think, especially if you're a scientist and fully understood the law of gravity? I'm still waiting for the scientist to explain to me how that happened. Any scientists in the room? Well, I'm not a scientist, so don't depend on me for a scientific explanation. However, I would like to tell you a quick story about a high school student who decided to enter the annual singing competition at his school. Apparently, this young man had a reputation among the teachers for not completing his assignments, generally called homework. And I see Hazel looking at me. Hazel is a school principal, and I know there are other school teachers in the room, like Mrs. Thomas. I know that Lorraine was a school teacher, and we probably had Doreen here, was a school teacher, and many school teachers in the room. So you know that once a student had quite a reputation in the staff room, that would be general information. So apparently this young man had a reputation. So he entered the singing competition, music competition, and he chose a popular song at that time called Wonderful World. And if anyone is from my age demographic, you might remember that song. It was a theme song from the movie Hitch. And the words went something like this. Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about science books. Don't know much about the French I took. And it went on and on. But one thing I know, but I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world that would be. Apparently, however, the young man did not get the chance to finish. Because as soon as he said, don't know much about history, don't know much about biology, a voice from the audience, believed to be a teacher, said, he is one of my students, I can vouch for that. Well, the people around here who know me know that you cannot rely on my knowledge of science. Nevertheless, I'm sure that we agree that the physical ascension of Jesus is unexplainable in scientific terms. But if we were a disciple who had followed Jesus throughout his ministry, we would have witnessed so much about Jesus that defied all reason, all logic, all scientific explanations, and probably challenge the prevailing laws, beliefs, and cultural practices of the day. If we were followers of Jesus, we would have seen Jesus turn water into wine. We would have seen Jesus turn a few loaves and a few fish into enough food to feed thousands of people. If we were followers of Jesus back then, we would have seen Jesus walk on water. We would have seen Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead. And of course, if we were alive when Jesus was born, we would have heard of a virgin birth, defying the laws of biology. And if we were there at the ascension, we would have seen Jesus defying the law of gravity. Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, provided different perspectives above scientific, above natural laws, about the laws that prevailed and the customs of the day. Yes, Jesus' earthly ministry transcended social and political barriers, where he promoted relief for the poor, support for the disadvantaged in society. And in his day, he involved women in his ministry and welcomed people of all races and cultures. But today, our attention is drawn to the time when Jesus was coming to the end of his earthly ministry. He had appeared to his disciples on several occasions in the 40 days since his resurrection. And he was telling them about his imminent departure. Now, in organizations, this is generally regarded as succession planning, isn't it? And you know that in organizations, when the chief executive officer is about to retire, that person would call up the directors and all of the top people and talk about transition planning, who might be the successor, how things might change, and what might continue. That person might actually turn over some of the important confidential files, or might not turn over some of the important confidential files, depending on the organization. So Jesus had gathered his key people around him. And the scripture tells us that before Jesus left, before he ascended into the clouds, he promised his disciples that their missionary work would spread out from Jerusalem to all the world, and that they would now be responsible for taking God's message of love and forgiveness everywhere, so that everyone could hear the good news of salvation. And the reading, the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, read by Craig this morning, reminded us that while he was going, and they were gazing up towards the heavens, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking upwards towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the way as you saw him go into heaven." So how about us? How about us? How about you and me? Are we like the disciples standing and looking up to the skies, just hoping and wishing? Or are we longing for the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and to invigorate our mission to be the church in the world? Because of what we know about Christ, we too are called to share our experiences, to be witnesses, so that others may come and see and experience the love of Christ in their lives. You know, as I was reading and reflecting on the ascension, I was reminded that there's something about this Jesus who we follow. And in Luke's gospel, he is described as a perfect example of a life lived according to God's plan. A life lived according to God's plan. As a child, he grew up learning in the temple. And that's a good example for us, and for us to pass on to our children and young people, learning in the temple. As an adult, He served God and helped others through his preaching and his healing. He had a specific vocation, and we are all called to vocation. And as a condemned man, he suffered and died in obedience to the will of God. And we too, as Christians, are called to do things that with which we might not be comfortable, but might certainly be in keeping with the will of God. Luke emphasized that Jesus lived as human. He healed and he fed people because he was interested in their physical well-being as well as their spiritual state. And we too have that responsibility as followers of Christ. So before he left, Jesus did three things. He recommissioned his disciples as a parting gift. And that we read in Acts, first reading, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Secondly, he blessed them. And thirdly, he promised that they would never ever be alone. He promised the Holy Spirit. And that we celebrate. And we too, as sisters and brothers in Christ, have the opportunity to live according to God's plan for us, offering help to those in need and encouraging and supporting those who are searching for God's free gift of salvation. We are called to defy the law of gravity. We are called, as Jesus did, to think about issues in society, perhaps practices which are considered part of the way things work. We are called to look at them carefully, to question them. And perhaps there are times when we must think of the spiritual laws which were taught by Jesus. And in all we do, let us look up. Let us look up. Let us be thankful for the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let us look up not as people without hope, but as people who know that we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And may we be faithful in all that we think and say and do, to bring glory and honor to, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are empowered by this gift to share the gospel to all with whom we come into contact. We thank you for the teachings of the church. We thank you for the spiritual laws with which we've been blessed. And may we have the faith and the courage to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.